Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Dachepalli Publishers Limited Q3 and 9 months FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Equiprojects Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Chandni from Equiprojects Advisors Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Mumi. A very good evening to everyone. Welcome to the Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings call of Dachepalli Publishers Limited. From the management team, we have with us Mr. Harish Dachepalli, Executive Director, Mr. Abhinav Dachepalli, Executive Director. The management will begin with the opening remarks, after which we'll open the floor for Q&A. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Abhinav, sir, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. I'm Abhinav Dachepalli, Executive Director of Dachepalli Publishers. Thank you for joining us today for the earnings calls of Dachepalli Publishers Limited. This is an inaugural earnings call following a successful IPO, and we truly appreciate the time and interest of our investors, analysts, and stakeholders. This period is particularly meaningful for us as it reflects the company's steady progress as a listed organization, marked by disciplined execution, improved profitability, and a sharper focus on long-term value creation. Dachepalli Publishers Limited has a rich legacy in the Indian publishing economy. Over the years, the company has built a strong reputation in education and academic publishing, catering to a wide spectrum of learners through well-researched curriculum aligned. Our focus has consistently been on delivering value-driven educational material supported by long-standing relationships with authors and distributors and a deep understanding of regional and institutional demand. This foundation has enabled us to build a resilient and scalable business model. This quarter is important for us as it is among the first reporting periods after our IPO and listing. The transition to a listed company has further strengthened our governance, transparency, and operational discipline. The IPO has also enhanced our financial flexibilities, enabling us to plan growth initiatives in a more structured and sustainable manner. The encouraging investors' response reinforces our confidence in the long-term direction of our business. During the third quarter of FY26, the company delivered a stable and profitable performance, reflecting consistent demand and disciplined cost management. Total income for the quarter stood at 1,477.77 lakhs, while profit before tax was 274.69 lakhs, and net profit for the quarter was 144.31 lakhs. Translating into a net profit margin of approximately 9.78. And earnings per share for the quarter stood at 1.28 rupees. These results demonstrate our ability to maintain profitability while continuing to operate efficiently in a competitive environment. It is also important to highlight the seasonal and academic nature of our business model. As a school textbook publisher, our revenue cycle is aligned with the academic calendar. Q3 is traditionally a comparatively moderate quarter for textbook sales and largely consists of repeated institutional orders, holiday homework books, and purchases arise from interstate student transfers. The primary textbook procurement session typically aligns with Q4 and Q1. Depending on boards like CBSE and SSE structures and academic schedules. Additionally, during Q3, the company strategically increased investments in expansion initiatives, including sales network strengthening, marketing efforts, and promotional activities in preparation for the peak academic session. These expenditures were consciously undertaken to enhance future revenue generation capability and expand our market presence. Accordingly, Q3 performance should be viewed in the context of broader annual academic cycle rather than in isolation. The Indian education and publishing industry continues to remain on a positive trajectory, supported by sustained focus on education, curriculum revisions, increasing adoption of regional and academic content, and steady demand across institutional and retail channels. Within this environment, Dachepalli continues to grow steadily. Our strong editorial capabilities, curriculum-aligned product portfolio, and long-standing distribution relationships position us well to capture industry opportunities while maintaining financial discipline. We remain confident in our growth strategy and long-term outlook, supported by improved financial flexibilities post-IPO and a scalable operating framework. Thank you for joining us today and for your continued interest in Dachepalli Publishers. We will now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Disha from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, ma'am, you are audible. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for this opportunity. So firstly, coming on to the seasonality, so you mentioned Q3 is a moderate quarter. In Q4 and Q1, we primarily see having a higher proportion. So what sort of revenue contribution do we see from Q4 and Q1 as compared to the full year?
This financial year, we've projected a turnover of around 90 crores, and we've already achieved 55, and we have confirmation orders of almost 25-30 crores. So we are, as per the promise what we made to the public, we will be achieving the 90 crore turnover because we have confirmation orders.
So what I was trying to ask is, in general, Q4 and Q1 contribute to what percentage of our overall revenue?
90% of the business comes from Q4 and Q1, ma'am. Because if you understand, we are selling school textbooks. So Q4 is usually when CBSE and ICSE schools place order, and Q1 is usually where state board school place orders across different states. So 90%-95% of the business comes from Q4 and Q1 only.
Okay, okay. All right. And so in case of margins, because you said that this quarter we do higher spends for the coming quarter, so what is the steady-state margin level you see going ahead?
Usually, we will, in the past experience, we have noticed a PAT of around 18%-20% PAT. But in Q3, PAT is reasonably less. It's because most of our money is spent on sales and marketing and approaching new schools and other working capital needs or purchasing raw material for the coming business.
Right, right. So on an overall consolidated basis, we can see 18%-20% PAT going ahead?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Just my question was about capacity. So our current capacity utilization is around 40%. So what sort of ramp-up plan do we have for this? And what's the revenue potential from the existing capacity at peak utilization?
Ma'am, two things we have to understand here. Dachepalli is solely a publishing company, and printing press is just an ancillary unit for our existing production. We previously used to produce our products in outside printing industries where there was delay in time and there were quality issues, so we slowly set up our own machines. Then we pushed the 90% of our production in-house, and 10% still goes outsourced. That is due to the seasonal nature of this business. And also about the capacity utilization, in printing industry, usually capacity is measured at a 22-hour shift, but in our case, on a 22-hour shift, our machines are at 40% capacity, but at an 8-hour shift, we are at 80% capacity.
Okay, so this is, so what's the peak utilization that we can achieve there?
In terms of utilization in the quarters, if you see, Q2 and Q3 is majorly peak utilization happens because that's when we produce the books for the coming academic year. And Q4 and Q1 usually goes for reprints or any emergency printing on such matters.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may press star and one at this time. Our next question comes from the line of Rohan Kamath from LNPR Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is, margin remains strong at the 9 months level but declined in quarter three. What margin range should be considered sustainable over the medium term?
Annually, if you see, margin will be on a PAT of 18% to 20%. In Q3, PAT will be lesser because we don't have revenue coming in Q3, but more expenditure is going out of the company for Q3 for the coming academic year sales generation, like promotional activities, marketing activities to get orders from schools.
Okay, my next question is, operating and selling expenses are increased during quarter three. Where is primary preparatory expenses for the peak academic season and should we accept the normalize in the coming quarter?
Yes, sir. Operating expenditures will come down in Q4 because it's usually revenue generated and most of the production has already been done and kept ready for the coming academic season. So by Q4 and Q1, when the major revenue kicks into the business, automatically operating cost will come down because the cost of production is almost negligible at that point.
Okay. The inventory levels have increased as of 9 months FY26. How confident is management about liquidation during the peak textbook season and what is the accepted inventory cycle?
So the reason why inventory is high because we were very clear that after IPO we'll be spending more on sales and marketing and then, you know, entering new geographical locations where we have business, and also we brought in a lot more new products like the NCERT workbooks, like the financial literacy textbook, which was not there prior to this, and we've changed certain sales and marketing team in the states where we have existing business. So overall, with the confirmation of orders and then with the previous year's business and with all the required reports, we'll come up with the stock level, and we are very sure that this will be finished in the next two quarters.
Okay. How should the investor assess working capital requirement and cash flow movement across the academic year and given the seasonality of the business?
So usually in school education business, what happens is in Q4 and Q1, major orders kick in where we start dispatching our supply, and from Q1 end to Q2 is major our revenue income starts coming back to the company. So usually the working capital cycle is around 4 to 5 months.
Okay, how many schools were added during 9 months FY26 and what is the average revenue per school?
Right now, our presence is in around 10,000 schools. So we can't give an average just like that because, you know, some school might be just using one product from our company or one subject, and some schools might be using 40-50% of the average. Let's say if all the 10,000 schools where we are supplying, if all of them have a similar strength of around 500 to 800, then the average order value will be around 1 lakh, 1.5 lakh. But that's not possible because in India, school strength is different from 300 to 2,000. So in that case, measuring average value per school gets very, you know, not reasonably correct.
Okay, what is the current status of curriculum integration partnership and how do this partnership enhance revenue visibility and long-term growth?
Yeah, so last year when we introduced this curriculum integration and partnership with schools, we tied up with only 10 schools where we did our handholding with the schools and where our editorial team or the training team has gone into the schools. They did handholding, they taught teachers on how to teach the textbooks to the students. We help them with integration of technology inside the school. And this year, we've added with 60 schools. And going forward, we are anticipating around 200 schools in the next coming year.
Okay, thank you. That's from my side.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Our next question comes from the line of Harini from Lorwood Consultancy Services. Please go ahead. Harini, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
So can you give us a clear update on IPO fund utilization? Have you cleared the dues of 6 crores like term loan? And we are using that as 25 crores for working capital?
Sorry to
Hello, ma'am. Thank you for the question. Yes, like what we've mentioned in our RHP, we have cleared 6 crores loan with HDFC Bank, where we had a term loan with them. And out of the 25 crores, we've got raw material, bulk raw material, where we get good cash discounts and bulk discounts, which are likely to get higher profit margins going forward. In the next quarter, you will be seeing that. And also we've got in multiple things. One, we've got into a distribution of notebooks and the stationery as well to our existing customers, because prior to that we were only dealing with school textbooks and we never entered into this particular vertical. But post IPO, yes, we've got in the distribution, and right now our distribution network for notebooks and stationery is at a reasonable quantity of around 10,000 to 20,000 pieces per CBSE or ICC standards. But going forward, the moment once we reach a 25,000 capacity of each product, like for example each geometry box or stationery or notebook, we'll start manufacturing our own line. So far we want to depend on the distribution model by procuring the material and supplying to existing customers only. And then apart from that, we have a new e-commerce vertical called Pelican Edu Supply. What happens here is our tech team generates a link for each and every school. The school then forwards that link to the parents, where the parents get to purchase the textbooks, notebooks, stationery, and other requirements of the school through that link, where we pack that in our warehouse. That box is shipped to the parents, like how Amazon or Flipkart does the delivery. And last year, we did a pilot project of around 3 schools. We raised the revenue of around 2 crores. And this year, we tied up with 50 schools, and we're expecting a revenue of around 30 crores from these 50 schools. Going forward, we want to scale up this industry with the space constraint in our existing plants and plant. We also purchased a new land recently, where we'll be building around 60,000 square feet of shed, where we'll use this place only to scale our e-commerce vertical. And going forward, we are estimating around 300 to 400 schools in the next coming year. That's one thing. And NCERT workbooks is one new domain where we were not in this product before. Since our business is consistently growing in each and every state where we are entering, NCERT workbooks are a common product which could be sold across all the states in the country. So we brought that product into line, and financial literacy is another product where this particular, after the new education policy was introduced, and schools have been made mandatory to teach financial literacy from class 1 to class 10th. So we launched that product also to this year, and since we were the first mover in the market, we've already sold close to 20,000 pieces of each class, and our reprints are going on now. So these are all the new updates what we did post IPO, and our IPO just closed like 30 days back. Hello.
Hello, Disha.
Yes.
If you want to ask more questions, please go ahead.
Yeah. So just one more question. Why are receivables days so high? And what sort of normal trajectory do we expect for these receivables days?
So, ma'am, there are multiple reasons. One being, see, what happens is this industry it works in a different model. What happens is we usually tend to get orders from CBSE schools in the month of January to March, and CBSE and ICSE, and state board schools order come from April to June. But usually our payments start kicking in only when the school reopens. Across India, in any state you see, 90% of the states open, the school reopen on June 15th. But then orders are procured 3 months, 6 months before. The reason being is, let's say my product is sold in 10,000 schools. I cannot dispatch 10,000 orders in 1 month or 2 months. I need proper 3 to 4 months to pack, distribute to schools across various states, various districts, various mandals, talukas. So in that process, it takes another 100 children, and what happens is, in every vicinity, the set of schools are tied up with a vendor. You can call him a bookseller or a distributor. This particular distributor procures material from multiple vendors like us, like multiple textbook publishers, stationaries, notebooks, and he makes a basket for that particular school. Once he makes that basket for school, he sends that basket to the school, and at school level, they again make sets, class-wise sets for the students, and then once the parents start, I take admissions around June 15, they start procuring this material. Once the reopen happens, we go collect our distributors or us, we go collect the money, and then that money comes back into the system. So that's why this particular procedure is long. And so because we are sending stock early, that doesn't mean that only it is, that means we have invoiced the product early, it doesn't mean the invoice will actually accrue to us.
Okay, so what's the normalized rate for this receivable day?
Usually it will be around 100 and 150 days.
Sorry, I couldn't get that.
It will be around 180 to 200 days, 100 and 200 days.
180 to 200 days.
Yes, yes. Because, you know, 6 months goes in season time. Once the, so usually when June 15 the school reopens, by September, October, 90% of our payments are recovered.
Okay, so So by Q2 and we see most of the payments coming through.
Yes. Yes, yes. So, and also the pricing on the products are also MRP like that, which covers that 4 months or 6 months of cost, interest cost also.
Okay, okay.
And this is the model has been there in India for almost 100 years in terms of textbook publishing.
All right. That's it, yes, sir. And what sort of growth are we targeting for the next year?
So this year we will be closing at around 90 crores turnover, ma'am. Next year with the e-commerce vertical also kicking in, we are planning to do around 150 crores of turnover.
150 crores?
Yes.
And currently I think we're supplying to 10,000 schools, right? Where do we see this number say in next 2-3 years?
So post IPO what we did, we've started, before IPO we used to do one state at a time depending on the revenue from the previous year's business or the profit we made from the company. But post IPO now what we, instead of doing one state at a time, we started doing 4 states at a time. This year we started Gujarat, Rajasthan and Assam and another state, and next year we'll be doing 4 states at a time. In the next 3 years we want to do around 25,000 schools across 28 states and 8 union territories of the country.
In next three to four years?
Next 3 years, yes.
Okay. That's very good. Thank you so much, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jayesh from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity and good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So, sir, the top 10 customers have contributed significantly in FY25. So, how should investors view customer concentration risk going forward?
Sorry, I didn't get your question. Can you ask again? The voice was not
loud. See, my question is that the top 10 customers have contributed significantly in FY25. Okay. And so, how should investors view customer concentration risk going forward in the future?
So the top 10 customers came from multiple group schools where we procured orders last year, which was not the previous method of business. So we have got into group schools like Pudami and Sri Chaitanya Narayana, where each school has around 150 branches. So because the number of schools on that particular brand is high, so the revenue coming from them looks like one of the top 10 customers. Also, what happens in our industry is every time a book gets prescribed in a school, the book stays in the school for almost 4 years. So this particular top 10 customers from the similar revenue will definitely stick for the next 4 years. And then we'll also be adding new and new schools across different states and different verticals. So the concentration risk is very less in that way.
Okay, so we can then say that these customers are definitely sustainable. School
textbook usually, you know, it's very difficult to get prescribed in a school, but the moment it gets prescribed, it stays for 4 years minimum. That is minimum, but there are some customers of mine who have been using my product for almost 18 to 20 years also.
Okay. Maximum 18 to 20 years.
So that is the higher, but I'm still promising only 4 years. Because that's a reasonable change happens in every 4 years. But there are customers to the company who's been using the same product in continuous so many years also. So if there's a top 10 customer giving more revenue if you see that in FY25, they'll continue for the next 3 years definitely.
Okay. 3 to 4 years minimum. Okay.
Yes.
And so what steps are being taken to diversify the customer base further? Any specific steps that you would like to mention or specify?
Diversify the customer base, isn't we are doing the same business, right? So what we are doing is we were only making school textbooks and selling prior to this. But post IPO, we realized what other things can we sell to the existing customer. That's exactly where we got into notebook distribution, stationery distribution. Then we got into home delivery of the products of e-vertical. So all these are not diversifying the customer, it's getting new products into the existing customer.
Okay. So actually the question was regarding customer base diversification.
The thing is, you know, previous, before the e-commerce vertical was lost, mostly our customer was the school. But now after e-commerce vertical has launched, we got too much data from the parents and, you know, what standard the student is in, or, you know, we have used some certain AI tools to understand what is the need of that particular class or what product has been focused more. So we are using that data now to sell other products to the same, to B2C. That is the parents and the school, like, you know, pushing holiday homeworks, additional STEM kits, educational toys to those parents. So the, that's how we've been diversifying our customers.
Okay. And sir, as far as the growth aspect is concerned, so which segments of the company is seeing the fastest growth, such as textbooks, supplies, or etc.
90 to 95% of the business comes from the textbooks. It has always been like that. So going forward also, textbook will be the major contribution of revenue. And we are slowly adding other revenues so that, you know, we get multiple sources of income from the existing customer or the, from the existing network. So major turnover for the company comes from textbooks. Now, whether we are selling it directly or indirectly, it doesn't matter.
90% to be precise. And 90% to be precise from textbooks, correct? And sir, what about the supplies part?
So here the supply network works, you know, if you are doing the textbook, we are into two different modules. One module where the textbook is supplied to schools is for, let's say, out of the 10,000 schools could be around 10 different states of the country. So these textbooks are for every district, there are multiple schools. The multiple schools have a vendor. Now they procured that particular vendor, they procure the stock from them, let it be textbooks, notebooks, stationery, or even uniform, and also shoes. So that particular vendor, once he gets orders from the schools, he'll make the basket for that particular school and then he procures from us. So we have a supply chain with all these distributors, around 300 to 400 of them across the 10 states where we are operational right now. Every time we get an order, it takes 2 to 3 days to dispatch, and then depending on the locality also. If it is in the south, it probably reaches in 3 days. If it is in the north, it takes up to 4 to 5 days. But and we use transport companies like VRL, Gati, Navta for transportation. In an around 150 kilometers radius from Hyderabad, since our office is head office is Hyderabad, we give them door delivery in our own vehicles.
Okay. And sir, how much of the revenue currently comes from the repeat school customers versus the new new customers?
Sir, out of the revenue, 70% is from the repeated customer and 30% is from the new customer.
70-30 ratio is there.
70%. Yeah, because like I said, the book continues for 3-4 years. So then our existing sales and marketing team try and pitch this product to new schools where our business is not there. So that the generation is 30%. This was post IPO, but after IPO this will change because now we are rapidly increasing into new states where we were not present previously. So that revenue is also, once it kicks in, it will go down to 60-40 ratio.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And sir, one last one from my end, that can management comment on the pricing power in the current academic publishing publishing times?
Yes, we can comment on the MRPs. And actually, what favor thing is, you know, many publishers in India do not have their own printing line. But in our case, we have our own complete production unit. So because of the production unit, there are higher margins compared to our competitors. And because of that, our costs are also less. And our margins are still very reasonable because the paper prices have been down from the last 4 years. And we kept the same MRPs. But compared to our competitors who are dependent on third-party printing units, their MRPs are slightly increasing 5 to 7% every year. So we still have that leverage because we haven't changed the MRPs for 4 years. And that has been a great advantage in the schools because the title keep continuing. They can continue with the same price list again and again. But now, even if I increase my MRPs by another 10 to 15%, the market wouldn't mind because my competitors' MRPs are still higher. And with existing MRPs, I'm still getting more margin. It's because my production is also in-house.
Okay. So sir, depending on the situation and in future times as well, so price can change as well, price or the prices of the books, textbooks, MRP.
Yeah, prices will change if the raw material is 70% of our raw material is paper. If the prices of paper prices change, then automatically the textbook prices also will change. But if you just to give an example, in 2020 I bought paper at 150 rupees per kilo. This year I purchased paper at 70 rupees per kilo, and last year also around 70. Then it was previous year it was around 75. So paper price only been declining. So at my MRP is right now, our price at paper price when it was 150 rupees per kilo. Today at 70 rupees MRP also, cost also per paper. I haven't reduced my MRP. I just kept it the same.
Okay. Okay. So that was nice to hear. And okay. So it will depend on the materials as well, raw materials.
Yes. 100%.
Okay. Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much for all the information. That was it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder, participants, if you wish to register for a question, you may press star and one at this time. Our next question comes from the line of Sahil Raj from Sam Darya. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, my question on this utilization of your capacity. What capacity utilization are you targeting for this year and the next year?
So actually, like I said, you know, for a 22-hour shift of printing industry, we are at a 40% utilization, but at a single shift of 8 hours, we are at an 80% utilization capacity. But the moment our capacity, we don't want to do a 22-hour shift of printing because our business is seasonal in nature. So, and also printing is not our main business, it's an ancillary unit for existing publishing school textbook business. So going forward, whenever our production increases at more than 80%, we ourselves will buy an additional machinery. So this year we are noticing that for a single hour shift our production is going more than 80%, and in the next quarter, after Q2, we are planning to buy more machinery to stabilize that.
And what would be the cost of these machineries that you are trying to get in after Q2?
Printing machines vary. If it is an international machine, it comes around 4 to 5 crores, and Indian machine comes around 1 to 2 crores. But the quality difference is 50%, and the speed of the machine, let's say a monograph machine, which is an international make, gives around 30,000 forms per hour, whereas an Indian machine, for example, Orient, gives at a 15,000 forms per hour, and the quality difference between the both machines in terms of printing, it is around 50%. And price obviously is also double the price. And the life also is different because an international machine usually stays for more than 20-25 years and an Indian machine lasts for 5 years. This is in terms of web, but in terms of sheet fit, that is like in printing there are two types, vertical machines and horizontal machines. What I just told you about is about our vertical machines, but about horizontal machines, if it's an international machine, it will be going, for a first-hand machine, it will be going around 20 to 25 crores. But in India, right now, even 1970 machines are still operational because these horizontal machines' life is around 100-150 years. Even right now, in our printing equipment, we have around 2003 model and 2002 model also, which is very efficiently running and the great quality they give us. So if you maintain them well, easily these machines last for 70-75 years.
Okay. And have you thought of going for maybe getting this printing done from someone else rather than purchasing your own machine?
Yes. So eventually before we were actively involved into the business where my father and my uncle were taking over, they were 100% dependent on outsourcing of the production. But when we came and joined my business, me and my brother, we noticed that, you know, we are not getting our books on time. Quality is not being maintained. The paper quality which was promised to us is not coming out on time. And also in reprints time, when the peak season going on, if there is any particular title we need, the printing press has already taken commitment from other publishers. So the turnaround time was getting late and we were continuously losing orders. That's when we decided, you know, why don't we start in our place. So immediately we got some small units, some binding and printing equipment, and we saw our break-even time and, you know, how much we are getting benefit of it. Slowly over time, in the last 5 to 6 years, we started buying more and more machinery. Then we've taken a better rented premises. Then we moved into a company-owned warehouse production unit now. So it has been growing very standalone, but 90% of the production happens in-house still and 10% still is outsourced. One, due to the seasonal nature of this business, and some products can still not need more machinery to produce some products. But since it is only 10% of the production, we are happy to send it outside.
Okay, sir. And in terms of your heavy quarters for the year, be it the quarter one or quarter two, you don't face any challenges with respect to capacity because you said that you can get more machinery as and when required, and raw material is also fine. So no capacity constraints as such, right?
No. But we are at full for a single hour shift. We are right now at a full capacity. But after our
But you can scale that up, right? As and when needed.
Yes. We can scale it up anytime.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for answering.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Neha Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. First question, what is the current state of the pension
platform?
Ma'am, your voice is not audible.
So what is the current scale of the Pelican platform?
Last year we did a pilot project in 3 schools, and this year we tied up with 50 schools, which will generate around 30 crores of revenue. But this revenue will be split between Q4 and Q1 because schools reopening dates are different across different verticals, different states. So, and going forward, next year we want to push it to 150 schools, and after that will be 300 schools.
So, what are the unique economics and margin profile of the
traditional
model versus traditional publishing?
Actually, traditional publishing model is profit margins are higher because we are manufacturing their own product. But in terms of the e-commerce model, there are multiple things. One, our product is there inside it. Other publishers' textbooks are there. Stationery is there. Notebook is there. But stationery and notebook right now, we are only trading it. We are not manufacturing it. So as and when we start manufacturing, because we need a minimum quantity to manufacture that particular product, when we reach that stage, like once we reach 100 schools, we will be having a minimum quantity to manufacture that product, and then the margin from that vertical also will be as good as what we are getting from the textbook.
Sir, what investments are planning AI?
I'm sorry, ma'am, your voice is not audible.
Sir, what investments are planning AI?
This year?
AI.
Ma'am, your question is not clear, ma'am. What investment?
Our plan is AI.
There is a lot of background noise.
Yes.
Hello? What investments are planning AI analytics capabilities, sir?
So when we brought in the Pelican EduSupply e-commerce vertical of delivering this particular educational material to parents home delivered, we've got more information of the students' needs and, you know, their classes, whether it's a male or a female, and which background of the parents, which kind of school they are studying. AI, we've developed an AI tool which helps us identify that particular parent and his purchasing capacity. And with that, till now we've been on the B2B model of the supplying textbook to schools and other needs. But once this vertical opened, our AI model has helped us generate information of different students of across different economical backgrounds, different states, different needs. So now we started our own e-commerce model where we have a website where all this data is pushed, and then we send notifications to parents through email and WhatsApp and other places to push other things apart from textbook, that is educational toys, you know, STEM kits and the Olympiad books and other things which are for higher education. So usually when a customer becomes a customer for the company for 3 to 4 years, but through this model we are trying to make the customer stay with the company for at least 10 to 12 years across his educational journey.
What percentage of schools are currently adopting the WeStudy digital platform?
So WeStudy is a complementary tool for textbooks. What happened is we've noticed that, you know, schools are interested in technology. So when we ended up creating this technology, we realized that, you know, the cost per student or cost per book is actually very small. So instead of trying to sell this model, why don't we give it for free as a complimentary along with the textbooks we have purchased? So then we started pushing this technology for free because, you know, the amount of investment we spent on the technology or creating the technology, including the server charges, when it comes to divide by number of textbooks we are selling, it's hardly coming to 3 to 4 rupees per book. So then what we did, instead of trying to sell this product, why don't we increase the MRPs on the books by another 10 rupees and start providing this technology for free. So we are rapidly pushing this technology for schools to get adopt, use our videos, use our test generated tools, and even we have integrated AI in the test generator where, you know, if a teacher teaches certain topic today, he can push a mock test on that particular topic to the students app, where the students can solve that particular test, and, you know, AI gives a result saying that, you know, whether the student have understood this particular topic or not, or whether the teacher has to come back tomorrow and revise this topic again before going to the next particular chapter. Or next particular paragraph. And in case of mathematics, AI also helps them that, you know, if there are questions in addition or subtraction, and then if the AI notices that the students are not performing well in addition, it pushes additional worksheets of addition to their email ID where they can download and practice that particular worksheet. They can take a screenshot, post it in the school app. Through the LMS, the teacher gets to know what the student is doing, how well is he performing. So AI has helped very much in the reports also. V-Study is coming as complementary, but still we have only noticed 30% adoption rate of technology in schools because there's a lag in schools of using technology, but we are continuously pushing it. We're trying it to give it for free because tomorrow if any tech companies or anybody trying to come and sell technology in school, I still will tell them that this technology is already available for free and we are using it.
Thank you. And the last question is, what is the new policy in executing the decency parent from a strategy?
Ma'am, your question is not clear, ma'am.
Sir, what is the management policy in executing the D2C parent from a strategy?
D2C parent?
From a strategy.
Ma'am, can you please be a little more audible?
Yeah.
So our major business is selling textbooks to schools. So that will be 90% of the revenue. And we are trying to get additional revenue through this e-commerce verticals through parents. With an increase in number of schools, I'm guessing the revenue will be 10% of the total business. And going forward, that margin will increase when we adopt more and more schools in the e-commerce portal of delivery of textbooks. So now this year we tied up with 50 schools, and next year we are in line with doing around 150 schools. Actually right now also we can tie up with more schools, but you know, space is also and time are two constant things. Next year a new factory will open, and with that we are easily concentrating on 150 to 200 schools. And right now we are doing a pilot project with our uniform also. And once we understand the challenges with the uniform, we'll try to scale that up also.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Chandni for closing comments.
On behalf of Dachipalli Publishers and Equiprojects Advisors, I thank everyone for taking the time out to join today's conference call. If you have any queries, you can connect to us at info@equiprojects.com. Once again, thank you for joining the conference. Thank you, Harish sir. Thank you, Abhinav sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. On behalf of Equiprojects Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.